Ah, perfect. Thank you so much. Good morning. I'm really pleased to be here to share. Oh, no. I have my stick, yes. Find this record. Oh no. New hardware.
Just go to start and start. Okay. Let's see here. Go to my computer.
My computer. My computer.
My
down
computer.
Here. Yeah.
Okay. All right. And then. Removable disk.
Not A.
No.
It's
this one.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go.
APHA.
Thank you, Anne, for your help. I'm not good at this part. Oh.
Go back where?
Go back to start, I guess. Yeah, or what is this?
But I saved it in 03 because they wouldn't take it. Well, then I should have a PPT on here too. Is that a P?
Does that look like it?
No, I don't think so. It's APHA. Go clear down to the end and see. I saved this in.
I put all the PowerPoint presentations together here, so they're all.
So you can right click and try to open with PowerPoint and see if it'll.
It's the first one.
You can actually physically change the extension on it and see if it'll open.
Do you want to try to do it? Open it?
Well, you want to open this.
Mm-hmm. Yep, there it is.
I'm so glad we have some really. Well, I made sure it was a.
Yeah, because you can't. You're not doing it from within the program, right? The only other thing, but I don't think that's gonna work. And these are the.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, doesn't like it.
Can we rename it?
I don't know if that's going to. You have any thoughts?
Rename this file over here, file tabs?
I don't know whether that's going to.
No, it's a PPT. It just didn't get converted.
It's just
not. The one that loaded up.
It's on your laptop.
Oh, you've got handouts, too.
I have handouts,
so
too.
So from your talk. Why don't we just talk with your hands?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. We have, my husband has a PowerPoint, too.
So, okay,
all that all that work on these slides.
So, start your talk, and we'll see if we
okay, thank you so much. I'm really pleased to be here this morning to share this descriptive component of a randomized clinical trial study that was conducted over a 3-year period of time. And I was really honored to be a co-investigator with Dr. Karen Wambach as the PI of this R01 that was funded through the National Institutes of Nursing Research, with Dr. Weelaipong Rojanarisat as the project director, Dr. Ginger Breedlove and Dr. Lauren Aronson were also co-investigators on this randomized clinical study. If I had my slides up, you would see that there's no relationship to relationships to disclose. As we all know, human milk is optimal for both the infant and the mother. And many of you, from the questions that you have asked, I can tell you're experts in this field, that adolescents have the lowest breastfeeding initiation rates and shortest duration among women of all ages, which, from what we've heard in the presentations, is very, very significant. Thus, the purpose of the randomized clinical study was to assess the impact of interventions of a lactation consultant and peer counselor team on breastfeeding initiation and duration among urban disadvantaged adolescent mothers. Methods for the randomized clinical study was a randomized prospective three-group control trial. And we enrolled participants during the second trimester of their pregnancy for multiple prenatal clinics and school settings. The majority of our teens gave birth in three large teaching hospitals in the Kansas City area on both sides of the state line. We enrolled a total of 390 participants between 2003 of October and August of 2006. IRB approval was obtained from all recruitment and birth sites. Okay, I will. The criteria for participation in that randomized clinical trial was 18 to 15 years of age, English speaking, it was their first baby, it was a single pregnancy between 14 and 27 weeks gestation, there were no contraindications to breastfeeding, and that these teens did have access to phones. Women in this study ranged from 15 to 18 years with a mean age of 17. African Americans at 61% had the highest representation among participants. Education varied with the highest percentage completing the 10th and or the 11th grades. The majority of participants were currently in school and currently single and living with a parent or their family. The purpose of the present study is to share the descriptive component of this RCT study and to specifically identify what were the types of breastfeeding problems that adolescents experienced in the first 6 weeks of postpartum. What were the reasons adolescents gave for weaning their infant up to 3 weeks, 6 weeks, 3 months, and 6 months postpartum? And what were the types of encouragement adolescent mothers received from health professionals to support their initiation and continuation of breastfeeding? The definitions, breastfeeding and initiation, was breastfeeding at the time of hospital discharge with plans to breastfeed at least half of the infant's feedings. Breastfeeding duration was number of days from birth to the last day on which the mother had fed the baby at the breast or provided expressed breast milk. Any hope? Okay. The next slide, there were 201 or 69.5% of the 289 adolescent mothers that initiated breastfeeding. We lost 101 of those adolescents to attrition, and that's a whole nother study, that's a whole nother presentation, I should say. I have a column up here. In the column, it has a range of days for each of the groups, the experimental, and their breastfeeding range duration was from 1 day to 213 days, and it has the other two groups involved in the study, too. Okay. The specific methods for this descriptive component of the study was the use of the breastfeeding experience scale, which is a 30-item questionnaire, which was developed by the PI of this study, Dr. Karen Wambach. The first 18 items identified frequency and severity of different types of breastfeeding problems with a 5-point rating scale from not at all to unbearable. The remaining items identified issues of weaning and formula use patterns. Four of the last 10 items obtained during breastfeeding status checks at 2, 4 and 6 months, and telephone interviews at 3 and 6 months postpartum provided the textual responses for the qualitative descriptive content. Okay. The analysis included descriptive statistics of frequency, types and severity of breastfeeding problems with comparison across the three study groups. Textual responses of the BES open-ended questions, which determined if weaning had occurred. All right. Thank you all so much. Let me just go down a couple slides. Oops, I can do that up here. I just wanted to show you this last column, the ranges of duration of breastfeeding. This attention control group, 2 to 181 days, and the usual care group is 1 to 195 days. And here are the methods, again, on the breastfeeding experience scale. The 5-point rating from not at all to unbearable. And then there were 4 items in the last 10 items that provided the textual responses for the qualitative descriptive content. And we're on analysis. descriptive analysis of frequency, types, severity of breastfeeding problems with comparison across the three groups were completed. Textual responses on the BES open-ended questions, which determine if weaning had occurred, reasons for weaning, and types of encouragement given for breastfeeding, were then analyzed using qualitative content analysis across the three study groups. Breastfeeding problems and severity scores were not significantly different between the three study groups at 3 or 6 weeks, and severity scores did not decrease between 3 and 6 weeks. Text analysis for teen mothers' reasons for weaning also did not vary across the three study groups. You can see that major findings of the RCT study did identify that the intervention worked in the experimental group. Breastfeeding problems identified at 3 weeks included leaking at 93%, followed by engorgement, sore nipples, and low milk supply. Leaking also had the highest severity rating of breastfeeding problems. Breastfeeding problems identified from 3 to 6 weeks included, again, leaking at 67%, engorgement, frequent feedings, maternal fatigue, and low milk supply. Again, leaking continued to have the highest severity rating. The qualitative descriptive findings for reasons for weaning from birth to 3 weeks had a major theme of early maternal and infant feeding experiences, which had 3 primary categories. Major reasons for teens to stop breastfeeding during this period was related to breastfeeding being too painful as a result of sore, cracked, and bleeding nipples. Also, inverted and leaking nipples resulted in weaning. You can see how mothers described these physical issues. Because breasts were hurting, if touching, they hurt. Just couldn't take it. Infant feeding issues were also cited as reasons to wean. These included infants needing to nurse too frequently, infants being too fussy to try and breastfeed, bottle feeding satisfying infant quicker, and infant refusing to breastfeed. Again, you can see some of these concerns through the mother's quotes, because baby got used to the bottle and refused the breast. Reasons for weaning at 3 weeks up to 6 weeks postpartum had a major theme of new maternal demands and concerns of infant well-being. It also had 3 primary categories. The major reason for mothers to wean during this period was returning full-time to school or work. Many of these mothers shared experiences of feeling tired and overwhelmed with increased demands of their lives. With increased demand, some experience decreased milk supply. Also, inconvenience of trying to pump, leaking, and decreased milk, breast milk with pumping were added reasons to wean. As one mother expressed, started school afraid not able to breastfeed and was leaking and inconvenient. Some mothers decided to wean as they perceived their infant as not getting enough milk with breastfeeding. They stated that the infant was more satisfied with formula, as demonstrated by the infant not being as fussy or not needing to feed as frequently. Other reasons for weaning was that one infant developed an oral infection, and three mothers stated that their infants actually had allergies to the breast milk. These experiences were reflected as one mother stated, not making enough milk, and a nurse told me that I was too young and my breasts were too small. Some of the young women felt that the changes in their behavior of not eating right, starting to smoke, or taking medications would not be good for their infants if they continued to breastfeed. Started smoking again, not eating right, afraid breast milk won't be good for the baby. Reasons for weaning between 6 weeks and 3 months and between 3 and 6 months postpartum fell into a similar theme and primary categories. It had a major theme of simultaneously changing maternal life needs and infant growth and development needs. It had two primary categories. Maternal reasons for weaning at both the 3 and 6 month points related much more to the continued demands and multiple roles of being a teen, mother, student, and possibly an employee. If the teen mother had not returned to school at the 6 week period, most teens returned to school during the interim weeks of 6 to 24 weeks postpartum. Again, reasons for weaning included starting school or work, decreased breast milk as a result of increased schedule demands, and having no breast pump or ability to pump at school or work. Some teen mothers described infants at both 3 and 6 month periods as not wanting to breastfeed any longer, along with infant growth and development issues, as reasons to wean, and you can see them reflected in their quotes. Text analysis of types of encouragement for breastfeeding among the three groups were similar in distribution of responses at 3 weeks, with greater frequency of encouraging responses in the experimental group at 3 and 6 months. The major theme for this was supportive encouragement, with the understanding that breastfeeding is best for baby. It also contained three primary categories. Teen mothers described how encouragement and support helped them continue to breastfeed during those first 3 to 6 weeks postpartum, as reflected in one mother's quote, helping with latching issues, kept encouraging to continue due to the benefits and gave pamphlets, tried longer than would have otherwise. At the 3 and 6 month periods, teen mothers were encouraged to continue to breastfeed as they became tired of nursing or felt their milk supply was decreasing. As one young mother said, really good for her, even if you don't think you have very much milk, because at the time, I wanted to give up. Teen mothers received encouragement to breastfeed during the prenatal and postpartum periods because it was the best for their newborn infant and growing baby. Two teen mothers also remarked that it would help them lose weight and shrink the uterus. You can see what they shared in terms of the importance of this encouragement. At least 16 mothers shared that breastfeeding results in their infant being healthier. This health and well-being of their babies reinforced the breastfeeding encouragement and knowledge that they had received, which you can really see are reflected in those four quotes. The randomized clinical trial study was both a theoretically and developmentally based intervention. It was adolescent-focused in its use of interactive age-appropriate group teaching by a lactation consultant. It provided a one-on-one support with peer counselors. It continued phone contact in the early postpartum and breastfeeding status calls at 3 and 6 weeks and at 3 and 6 months postpartum. Even with the theoretically and developmentally intervention that incorporated adolescent-centered teaching and support, there were identified limitations to really understanding the lived experiences and reasons for weaning of breastfeeding adolescents. As you can see at the last one, there was really no in-depth interviewing of the breastfeeding experiences and types of support. Specific conclusions that we can identify from the randomized clinical trial study and this specific descriptive component was that there was a high incidence of formula feeding in feeding experiences, and that exclusive breastfeeding was not influenced by the intervention. Also, we saw that breastfeeding problems in those first 6 weeks that could be decreased by exclusive breastfeeding. Thus, the research question becomes how to promote early exclusive breastfeeding. Physical issues led to weaning early in the postpartum, leaking, sore and cracked nipples, and engorgement. Again, some of those problems could have been decreased with exclusive breastfeeding. Thus, the research question becomes how to prepare for and support early physical discomforts. Social issues were more prevalent beyond 6 weeks, which led to weaning. Thus, the research question becomes how to sustain continuation of breastfeeding in adolescent work and school settings. And last, support is an important ingredient in the postpartum for young women to continue to breastfeed. Thus, the research questions are, what is the role of family in supporting breastfeeding? And how do we increase health professionals' role in promoting and sustaining breastfeeding among adolescent mothers? I thank you all for your patience, and I thank you especially. And I would be happy to entertain questions.
They said it was uploaded.
They're all smart and everything.